We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Our question, what did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, we had a woman who called in who went deep sea diving, essentially, in Australia, mm-hmm. Swam with dolphins, swam with sea lions, and then did the one thing where you get in a shark cage, saw great white sharks. But we pointed out, like, hey, man, when you're swimming with sea lions, you were swimming with shark lunch. It just seems like a bad idea. You're the worst swimmer. She pointed out, look, I'm a better swimmer than some of the other people in my group. So somebody here, they make a good point. They say, hey, man, this is why you carry a knife when you go diving. If you see a shark, you stab your buddy and swim away.
Oh. I had no idea.
See, the more you learn. The more you learn right here on the men's room.
I'd tie a dead fish to his back when he wasn't looking. You know what I mean? Damn.
Hide it in his flippers, something, right, man.
I mean, it's tough, too. It's like, I feel like swimming's one thing, but swimming with flippers on underneath the water would be faster.
It would be, yeah. But not shark fast. Yeah. And that's the problem. Any animal that I'm faster than, it's not that big of a problem. There ain't a whole lot of those.
Yeah, we already had the golf cart in the bear scenario. Bear still wins.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
You can't outdrive him either, you know.
What about even one of your, diesel ones?
He's hitting like 400 yards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn. Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I was on stage with Insane Clown Posse.
Did they know you were on stage with them?
Yes.
All right, so what's the scenario?
So, at the end of their concert, they bring up a whole bunch of people on stage to spray Faygo into the crowd and stuff.
Of course.
And, I've been a big fan of Insane Clown Posse since 2008. Well, two years ago, they came up here, and me and my fiance went, and they pulled me on stage with them, and I got to spray Faygo to the crowd.
I don't know this, but I think I read they retired.
Really?
About three or four months ago.
The lead singer has a failing heart condition.
That's a fair reason.
They're going to cut back on touring and do like a Kiss tour where their final farewell tour, but they're planning on doing it like four times.
Okay, so probably do a residency or just a select number of gigs.
Is it fair to say that, like, you know, Disney, the company, somebody told us yesterday they buy the second most explosives behind the U.S. military, but the most fireworks. And is it fair to say that Insane Clown Posse probably buys the most Faygo of any organization on this planet?
Organization?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about Faygo or just...
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Like, what flavor of Faygo would be your preference? Because it's been so long since I've even seen it.
I know.
They have candy apple. That's a good flavor.
Have they never paired up with Insane Clown Posse to create like a Juggalo flavor or anything like that? Just to, you know, I mean, acknowledge the
fact
they've
done more advertising for Faygo than Faygo has.
So, have they ever done that?
Not that I'm aware of, but they get a lot of their publicity through ICP.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I feel like Faygo, you only know it from Insane Clown Posse or it's super cheap at the corner store.
Look at all the people who are putting their names on, I don't know, McDonald's meals or whatever their favorite products are. Bring the chicken
like
nugget.
NTSB.
Bring the spicy nugget back. And people like, you know, in that instance, there's no other reference point. You know what I mean? There's nothing else
that except that it's cheap.
I mean, even when you say Faygo, the only thing that crosses my mind is ICP.
And the fact that they still are popular in two-liter fashion.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. I mean, when you go up there, man, they got the...
They got the big dogs, the 24-ouncer.
Yeah.
That's a personal, so it's not quite a two-liter. You know, remember buying... Like, I feel like outside of Insane Clown Posse, like, we used to buy them all the time back in the day because they were always, like, the cheapest soda you could get the most of.
I was going
to
ask, when's the last time you think you had a Faygo?
Probably when I had a Shasta.
2001.
I don't even think it's been that recent for me.
I'm not even sure I've seen it on the shelf. Then again, I'm not looking for it. So
that's a good
I could
point.
Be walking right by it. I wouldn't know. What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-RUM.
Well, yeah, because we're fancy now. We can afford A&W, and Welch is great.
Yeah, all that Welch's.
You're fancy.
Hello, Marsha. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great, Marsha. Thank you.
So when I was 12 years old, I got to paint with Bob Ross.
Say what?
Oh, nice.
No way.
Seriously, yeah. I'm from Indiana. I grew up in Fairmount, Indiana, which is where James Dean is from as well. But Muncie, Indiana, where they filmed all the Bob Ross stuff, is maybe a 30, 45-minute drive. We'd go there all the time because it was a bigger city, so it had more shopping places and stuff. And we'd drive right by the PBS studio. And one day there was a big sign out there that said, come paint with Bob Ross. And me as a 12-year-old, I was a weird kid. I loved his show.
No, you weren't weird.
Everybody loves that kid.
Maybe we wanted to draw that pirate and the turtle just so we could go to the Art Institute. I mean, it wasn't just that. So, okay, now let me ask you this. Because I did a little weird research on Bob Ross because they're talking about the documentary or whatever it is that's coming out.
The Dark Side of Bob Ross.
Yeah, whatever it is. But, you know, what is a Bob Ross painting worth? One of his originals. It was on a show. You know what I mean? Do you think you could go to an antique dealer or a yard sale in that area or, you know what I'm saying? And, and pull one of these out of someone's garage that doesn't know what they have?
I have no idea. I mean, I lived up until 2014 back in Indiana, and I've never seen any of his paintings anywhere except on the show. So I have no clue, but
so
maybe.
Were you just following his lead as a, you know, like as
Happy
as a student? Were you just trying to emulate what he was doing?
Oh, yeah. I'd get my own stuff and I would watch the show and I had my own paints and I'd follow along with him and try.
Yeah, but when you were there in the studio, is that what they were asking you to do or were you there to do your own individual piece?
Oh, we were there to do our own individual piece. It was actually not filmed. It wasn't for anything. It was sort of a thing. Sign up and come paint with him. So there was about 15 other people, and I was the only kid, of course, but it was off onto the side in a grassy area, and he was up front, and he painted something, and we set up our little easels and stuff and was there, and then afterwards he was kind of done, and he had baby owls and some baby squirrels that he had rescued, and him and his wife, they showed us because they had to, they're little babies. They had to be fed every 2 hours.
Here's what you misunderstood.
Awesome.
You think he rescued him because he seems like this nice guy. That was dinner. He just didn't want to say that to people. We're going to go home and boil these.
Now, do you still paint to this day? Marsha, do you still paint?
I do. I'm not very good, and I don't do it very often. But yeah, I still got my stuff.
Okay, that's awesome. That's very cool.
Do you still have the painting you did when you were with Bob Ross?
I do not, but I still have his autograph that he signed to me, and I have it framed and on my wall.
All right,
that's cool. Ted's got a Bob Ross T-shirt.
It's amazing. I get compliments on it all the time.
Yeah,
it is a weird thing. You go wear a Metallica shirt, nobody says anything.
Bob Ross. It expands. It goes across all. Like creeds, colors, whatever. And then I always like, people are just like, where do I get one? I say, it's a place called Target.
What is it again?
It's hard to find.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like sometimes I'm just like, I know you love it. Seriously, just go to Target. You can get one today.
What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
There's something weird with Bob Ross paintings that it's hard to buy them.
Why?
Well, that's what I
your research.
I'm trying to read up on. It's like, I don't know, there's not as many of them, or they're not for sale, and then I guess the ones that are, you're talking 10 to 15K.
Okay.
Jeez.
I was just curious how much it cost, you know what I mean, to get into that world.
By the way, I was worried about watching the Bob Ross documentary because I was like, I don't want to ruin Bob Ross. Mm-hmm. So it's like, don't. It's the same old story. Everybody had their hands in his pocket and ripped.
Oh, okay. Oh, that day, of course.
Yeah.
Happy little accidents. That's what we call our children. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great, Jason. Thanks, man.
So in high school, I was I went to school up in the mountains in California, and I was part of a rock climbing and a mountaineering club, and my goal was to try and climb something in the Himalayas one day. When I was 19, we got the chance with our teacher to go to the Himalayas, and I climbed a 26,000-foot peak.
Get out of here.
Damn.
Jesus, man.
Is that one of the top 20 in the world?
No, it's not rated as one of the top 20s. I think it's because it's just under that, and it's not very popular. It was more of a remote. And
unlike the bustling metropolis around the Himalayas that we all know.
So did you go? Right. What did you have to fly into Kathmandu and do all that?
Actually, we flew into a town called Ladakh, the capital. The city is Leh, I believe. The airport's at about 10,000 feet.
Okay. Wow, that had to be hairy.
Yeah, you use the entire runway because the air is so thin.
That's why I said it had to be really hairy.
How long were you there, including from the time you landed until the time you took off?
You mean on the runway?
No, I mean your entire trip.
Oh, sorry. It took us about 3 weeks because of the amount of acclimation you got to do.
I was going to say.
Basically, you leave.
So how long do you have to sit in a certain spot just like you get to 17,000 feet? How long do you need to stay there for your body to get adjusted?
Pretty much you're camping out in like maybe, 5,000 to 6,000 foot increments. But once you're traveling at that altitude, walking, and you're going up and down these little ravines and peaks and passes, so you become acclimated after about a couple weeks. And then our base camp was about 20,000 feet, and then we did 6,000 the next day to do the actual ascent.
Did they do that like they do with Everest? In other words, if you're base camp 2, then you go up and set everything up for base camp 3, but then come back down. Because you're going to bring more stuff back up. It's kind of like this back and forth, you know what I mean, as you're going up. Is that how you guys did that?
Yeah, so unlike Everest, the base camp that we were at, we were by ourselves. You know, it's not like it wasn't a popular site. Right. And so we had our Sherpas that brought all the stuff with us, on donkeys and mules and stuff. And so we camped there, we made that. We stayed there probably 2 days at about 20,000 feet. And then at 5 a.m. on the third day, we climbed up to, the peak. We looked around, and then we came right back down.
How long are you at the peak? I mean, I know the idea of summiting is the main occasion, but also this is going to be the best view you've ever had. How long do you get to spend up there before you have to leave?
You know, it's only like 15 minutes, which is a bummer.
What?
Yeah, you can't hang out.
You do all that, you get 15 goddamn minutes.
And also, too, are you leaving like at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning when it's still a little bit more calm and doing most of that climbing toward the top in the dark?
Yeah, so we left at 4 a.m. For that one. And
yeah, I'm not a morning person. Hey, how when you say, I know you have to get acclimated. I do understand all of that. But as far as getting off the plane, being in the Himalayas, how noticeable is it when you first get there that the air or the oxygen level is so much less?
So you notice it just when you're just sort of walking around town. You notice that you're breathing a little bit heavier. You get drunk a lot quicker.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Were all the Sherpas smoking cigarettes?
They were. That was the best part.
Yeah, I was going to tell you.
You're hiking all day. I'm dying over there in the corner, and these guys with a pack of cigarettes, they form a little circle and they start playing cards right in front of us.
Yeah, like this ain't a big deal. All right, did you ever have to rescue yourself?
No.
Okay, and no crevasses or anything like that?
Nope. No, it was pretty much. It was pretty subtle. It wasn't too crazy. The school that took us or the travel team, they had done it many times, so they had the best route, kind of thing. So it wasn't anything that was too dangerous. We were all high school kids doing it. There was about five of us.
Have you ever thought of doing another mountain?
What's that?
Have you ever thought about doing another mountain? Like when you see Rainier, do you think, hey, I should give
that
a shot?
I'll just walk up that in my
or Baker
tennis
or whatever, Hood.
No, because I get tired walking on my stairs now.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Times change, don't they? Good
60
guy.
60 pounds on your back and plastic boots.
Would you do that?
Would I do that?
Himalayas.
I would do that if I could do that. I don't think I'm physically able to do that. That's the difference. I mean, hell, I couldn't even get up Rainier. I physically,
when you had a storm with Rainier.
Physically, right. I was fine. But at the same point in time, I realized that when I got back down, like, I have scoliosis. My back was killing me. Like, you know, right. I'm not used to having 60 pounds on my back. I was like, God. And the plastic shoes, man, the boots, they hurt like hell.
So how much weight do you carry if you have a Sherpa? Right? Like, is he carrying all the crap, or are they carrying the crap you need in spite of what you're carrying?
You're carrying your gear for the most part, and that's normally around 60 pounds.
Well, what are they carrying?
They're carrying, basically, they're portering the food, all the pots and pans.
Oh, all right.
All the things that, you know, you probably can't carry because you're not up to it. You can't smoke cigarettes and carry, you know, 70 pounds on your back, so they take care of you. I mean, from what I understand.
Did you smoke a cig up there?
Oh, God, yeah. And that's one thing. That's one thing about altitude, right? If you're a smoker, then you're already oxygen compromised.
Sure.
So you know, as many books as I've read about hiking and just mountaineering in general, you know, people have a pretty good idea where people are on the mountain based on the fact that they can smell the cigarettes. So you know, like I don't know who the hell, like Ed Vistra's will write, like, well, I knew the Italians were up here because I could smell them smoking cigarettes.
Italians will smoke. It doesn't matter.
I knew the French were over here because they're smoking cigarettes. And, like, they all just smoke cigarettes. So I'm not really sure how that works, but I think just because your lungs are already compromised, it doesn't seem to offend your oxygen levels with your blood level because
you're already depleted.
Exactly. So you're already used to just at sea level. Doing everything with compromised oxygen. So when you get up there, I don't think you feel the same effects as a lot of people who do, which is a strange... There's not a lot of positive smoking stories, but I think in this instance...
Positive smoking stories with Miles.
I think in this one instance, once you get about, you know, 10,000 feet, it tends to work in your benefit a little bit, which is strange, but, you know, they should put that on the pack. Helps you climb.
If you're a climber, smoke Marlboro Red.
You're going to die.
Didn't summit last time? Marlboro will help you summit.
Exactly. What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
My question, what did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Elise. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. Thank you, Elise.
All right. So going on to my story, about a couple years ago when I was about 21, I got the opportunity to go and travel internationally. I got to go to the UK and Scotland for about 2 weeks. And while I was there, I am a huge, huge, huge Harry Potter fan. Like, I've been a fan since I was 6 years old. I have two tattoos, and one of the things on my bucket list was to go visit the Warner Brothers studio and visit where they did a lot of the Harry Potter stuff. And going in there, it was like a religious experience.
That's cool.
What are your Harry Potter tattoos? Tell me you got a lightning bolt on your forehead.
Yeah. No, I haven't gone that crazy. I have All Was Well, which are the last lines of the Harry Potter book, on my wrist, and then I have the word always tattooed on the back of my shoulder with the Deathly Hallows symbol.
That's very cool. Now, depending on how big of a fan you are or a drinker you are, there is a bar in Ballard that I don't believe has opened yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's on there's a little corner there where two streets intersect, and it's basically, it's a triangle-shaped building, okay? Mm-hmm. And it used to be an old Irish bar, but maybe not old. It was probably open for 10 years or so. But either way, they've transformed that thing into a Harry Potter bar.
Have you seen this, Elise?
I have not, but I am adding that to my list.
Look it up. Right, it's definitely in Ballard, and I just read it probably the same time you did, a couple weeks ago. And
look at the pictures of the bar. It's pretty cool.
It is amazing.
I don't know if they're going to have, like, gamer nights or what the idea behind it is or as far as, but, you know, I don't know if you can go in there and drink mead. I'm not sure what
I think they do all from, if I remember it right. All right, so Miles is right. They showed a few pictures of it pre-opening, and the inside, whether you like Harry Potter or not, it's very impressive. They kind of recreate some stuff there, but down to the lights, everything. But, yeah, it's a Harry Potter-themed bar.
The name of the bar.
What do they drink? It's not mead. Isn't Harry, because, like, Universal.
They do a lot of butterbeer.
Butterbeer.
Butterbeer, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Harry Potter himself, big gin and tonic guy, but they cut that out of the movies.
Just so you know, the name of the joint is the, I think it is the Splintered Wand, and they say it might be opening on November the 2nd.
All right.
The Splintered Wand.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which sounds like if you tried to have sex with a tree.
But definitely check it out, man. That's God, I forgot about that
splinter
place.
Splinter in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the inside looks like, I don't remember any particular interest and the whole Harry Potter thing, but when I looked at the pictures of it, I'm like, this looks pretty goddamn cool.
Like, you know, potions on the bar, or whatever the hell that is. But
well, it's for wizards.
They say it's Harry Potter. They said it's a wizard bar. Yeah.
Oh.
So whatever.
Do you have to have proof of wizardry
or wizard ID?
I said open to all wizards because that could be dangerous.
And oh. There's a lot of Klansmen in here.
I wonder what vaccination wizards need.
We're going to serve white Russians.
Mm-hmm. Or just show up in a Washington Wizards jersey.
The Grand Wizard Bar.
Like, where's the NBA game? This was a wizard bar.
On?
You got to be a little more specific.
Abracapocus. Door opens.
Right. Tell you one thing, though. Those wizards, always about the mask.
They got a Jordan jersey hanging up.
They've been masking up for years.
Yeah, he was a wizard. Yeah,
he was for a little bit.
You know, there's a good one.
What's that?
When I was a janitor, we all had tickets. We the whole crew. And they said, hey, we'll get everybody the night off on like a Friday. Somehow we worked it out that we were all going to get the night off. Some of the day crew guys were going to come in. We were going to go to the Washington Wizards game. We were going to see Michael Jordan in person.
Yeah.
And you did.
Did not.
Why not?
That happened.
Hey, like, got a hangnail or caught a cold.
Seriously?
It was the end of his career. And like,
oh, he didn't play.
No, like the week of, we're all fired up. And then it was like, yeah, Jordan's not playing the next three games. Like, son of a.
There are a few people like that. As much as I.
Same thing happened with LeBron. I had tickets
really?
Like way back in the day for the Sonics, for the Cavaliers. And he just, you know, it's the NBA. They just sit out some games. It's like, damn it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I dislike Tom Brady, but for our generation, let's face it, best quarterback, right? So.
Yep.
And I realized he'd been playing for 18, 19, it was his last season maybe? Yeah, I think his last season with the Patriots. And I'm like, it occurred to me, I've never seen this man play in person. So I flew all the way back to Baltimore to see him play and watch my team kick his ass. But I'm like, there's Tom Brady.
That's kind of a cool
experience, man.
I mean, for me, that was one of them. To go to a Super Bowl, not only that, but
that's pretty cool.
My team was in it.
That makes a huge difference.
And they actually won the damn thing.
Which makes a really big difference.
I'm sure there's a lot of people in Seattle who were fine. I mean, not fine because they had to fly to Detroit, but were happy to see the Seahawks in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, even though they lost that game. You know, it would have been a cool experience just to go and watch your team play in a Super Bowl.
It's better because, look, the Super Bowl is a very pricey experience. So the one question I always get is it worth it? I go, if your team wins, yes. If your team doesn't, you just blew a lot of money.
The other one, the Seahawks. My team lost, and it was worth it.
You think so?
Because Seattle fans are going to hate me for this. I thought 49 was the better game. It was so much more fun to watch. 48 was a blowout.
No, right, I got you. Yeah. Right.
So
this was competitive.
Being there and being in the environment and everything that they had there, like Super Bowl City and all that, they have all the displays and they have all the attractions that you can go do. And then being at the game, there's no football fan game like the Super Bowl.
No.
It wasn't just Niners fans or Patriots fans and Seahawks fans. It was everybody.
There are people who dedicate their one big vacation every year for going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if they've got a team in the hunt or not.
Even Jets fans.
I mean, you see every single jersey.
Everybody is
just happy to be there. They are nice. It's not like going to a place where there's a bunch of fights that break out or anything like that.
It's really not. It's such a different vibe.
It is completely, you know, accepting. Doesn't matter what jersey you're wearing. People will come up to you. They'll ask you about, you know, how your team's doing, where you flew in from.
One nice thing about the Super Bowl is, you know, the teams playing are in different conferences. So we may have played earlier in the season, but You're not my rival. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you have nothing to do with my team's trajectory, so it's kind of easy to sit down with fans of the other team and have a good time.
And there's not a bunch of 22-year-olds who've been drinking all day just getting hammered causing trouble because they can't afford it.
But us 40-something guys,
we'll take over.
We'll get hammered for
you. We got this, man. We'll throw up in the street for you. We got your back.
Well, like, look, like I follow like Arsenal, right, which is a famous English soccer team.
Yeah.
I've never seen him play in person. But when I went to England to see the Seahawks play on Saturday, we walked up to that part of town because we were close enough, like a mile and a half away, and like got to see the stadium. But as we walked up, like I had to walk in front of the other three people. It was like I was about to tear up. I was like, I can't believe I'm actually, you know what I mean? Like,
especially in a different country.
In a different country, yeah.
What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-RUN.
Then we went to Pieberry.
What is Pieberry?
They used to play at a stadium called Highbury. So across the street from the new stadium is a famous pie shop called Pieberry.
Oh, okay.
I see what they did there.
Yeah. Pretty. It's a lot of thinking over there, Miles.
It's clever. Clever across the pie.
Clever.
Meat pies, dessert pies. You need a pie.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So the year was 1992. My wife and I were watching MTV, and they had back when they used to do music. They had a concert series coming up called Lollapalooza. And so we were like, man, that would be cool, right? Because it started back in the East Coast, and they did updates. They were adding concerts coming out. And so anyway, we were watching it like a month later, and they said they were going to come to the Kitsap County Fairgrounds in Bremerton. So anyway, we go there, and it was Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Alice in Chains.
Yeah, that was a
solid lineup.
Pretty sure that was the show the Red Hot Chili Peppers came out with bulbs on their head.
I think that was the one.
Because I got there early. At the time where I went, the amphitheater, they allowed massive tailgating. You could bring grills in. Mm-hmm. You could have kegs. I mean, you had your own food and all that stuff. And I really, really wanted to see Pearl Jam. I was on top of that album. I listened to it constantly.
Yeah.
I want to see this band.
13 million people did.
I remember, man, because we had a charcoal Weber. So I set this damn thing up. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock. You know what I mean? Plenty of time to grill the chicken we brought, the hot dogs. We're going to hook this thing up, man. We're going to get drunk. We had a couple cases of beer. We had a cooler. And I swear to God, man, as soon as the flames popped up, you hear the intro, you hear McCready start playing Alive. And I'm like, you sons of bitches are coming out first.
Right.
You're coming out first. And you're going to play that song first. God damn it. So we dumped the coals, man. And the thing was, you couldn't get... That was one thing. You could not leave the venue.
Right. Once you're in,
that was one room. Once you're in, you're in.
So you're just hungry watching bands?
Well, basically, we went home with, like, a bunch of raw chicken and, you know, I mean, two full cases of beer. I mean, we thought about grilling when we got back, but it was an all-day show. What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-RUN.
You could still grill. Like, people have been known to grill after drinking all day.
I know. It's like, God damn it.
Hello, Maggie. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Hi, guys. I'm an artist, and so in my mid-20s, I decided to start modeling for fine art nude prints, and I always wanted to make something really big and cool, but you meet with all these different people, and it doesn't really work out all the time. And then I got contacted by this man who was making a book taking pictures of a nude model in a decaying building in every state in the USA. And it's called Bear USA. And I thought, wow, this book is cool. He invited me to be a part of it. And I went and shot with him in the middle of nowhere for a full day. I actually kind of thought that if I was going to die, it would be that day.
I like going into any situation with that in mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Today's it.
I got into the car and thought, if I disappear, it would be today.
I think I just pulled up a picture of you. Not because I wasn't interested. I just wanted to see the building.
Bear USA is a super cool book. I got to be Miss Washington for it. We went up to Concrete, Washington, and shot in a old abandoned concrete mill, I guess.
Maggie, I'm not going to lie to you. All four members of the show are glued to Miles' computer.
Trying to find out what
as he scrolls through to look at Miss Washington.
And trust me, you had me. It was scary at Concrete.
You know, once you get past Cedro Woolley, it's a little question.
Now, when you say you always wanted to do a nude thing, like, how do you broach this? I mean, can anyone just roll up and be like, hey, I want you to take a picture of me naked? Because there's a lot of people I think I would turn down.
By far. We call them GWCs, guys with cameras. They're not photographers, but they tend to be so that they can take pictures of nude girls. They're everywhere.
And how did, what was your experience on how the pictures turned out? Were you happy with the pictures?
From the Bear USA?
Yeah.
Oh, they were amazing. They're probably their top five of anything I've ever done. Yeah, for sure.
And how hard was it? Did you feel comfortable being naked, or was it, you know, one of those things where you're like, this is kind of weird?
Well, it's always a little bit weird because you don't know the person. I started out with a friend the first couple times with a friend photographer of mine, and so it went really well. I got used to it. Meeting people, it's like, well, that's what we're here to do. You check out their work, you check out who else they've worked with, and you talk to those other girls so that you know that you're not going to get taken away and murdered or something scary.
Yeah.
And, so I was all right with it. It was really cold.
How long ago was this?
2016, I believe.
Okay, so not that much time.
Now, did you get any? Did you make any money off that? I don't know how that works.
He was just an artist who won he won a contest and got $20,000. So he jumped in his car and started driving around. So he didn't have a lot of money to start with. He paid me $100 for the day, which is a lot more than you make usually when you're just collaborating on art prints. It's usually just a trade for time.
I really hope this is you.
If it's Washington, it is.
We can't. Mike's running over.
Did you just use your mouse to zoom in?
I tried to, but let's see if I can.
Like Mr. Computer Illiterate.
Are you like in a hallway, sort of?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
with the guys in the jail suit.
No, I got a different picture.
Like the wrong person.
That's all right. There's 50 states, there's like three or four pictures from each state.
Okay. Now we have Mike trying to work his magic. Come on, Mike. Figure it out. Yes, we're all trying to look at you naked. That's
okay. They are gorgeous pictures. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, look, they blurred out the thing. The kid in the caboodle.
Yeah.
Do you still take pictures? Are you still modeling?
I stopped for a long time, and I actually, after about 3.5 years, I did my first photo shoot last weekend.
Oh, nice.
Okay, but you were naked in that, right?
No, I definitely was.
Oh, you definitely were. Okay. So are you like a go-to, like if somebody needs a naked model, right, in the photography world, are you like one of the people that gets referred to other people?
Not really. There's platforms where people can search people, where they can search talent in an area, a specific area. So when he looked up Seattle, Washington, I was one of however many girls that he found, and then he contacted me through an online forum for photographers and models.
Damn. All right.
Well, I hope that's you.
Yeah, no one's ever asked me to pose naked, and I understand why.
That's a different picture, and I hope that's you.
I hope all of them are.
I do, too. They are not.
You cannot go wrong.
This guy, he should be hiring people at restaurants.
And you know we're not the only people searching this.
No, absolutely not. What's up with a joys want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
How'd you find it there, Mike?
Got her.
Hang on.
Is that?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Man.
I bet.
Yeah.
That is some stuff.
Yes, indeed.
How about that?
Okay.
Look at that.
All right.
Nice.
It'd be different if people couldn't hear us. So all we're going to say is all right.
We're
saying
it out loud. It's okay. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm taking that home with me.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and oars.
Liquor and oars.
Here's a Paul Mall.
Hey, guys. So when I was a young kid growing up in New England, watching all those TV shows from Los Angeles, I used to see the Hollywood sign more than once before plenty of those shows.
Of course.
So I always said to myself, I said, man, it would be so cool to be up there by that Hollywood sign and just be hanging out at the Hollywood sign. When I graduated from high school, one of my best friends moved out to L.A., and after 1 year of college, actually partying, I said, hey, man, I'd like to go out and visit you. And he says, come on out. I got you a job. I'm on the beach here, and come on out. Well, I went out there, and of course, long story short, he didn't have a job. It was over his mom and dad, stepmom and dad, mm-hmm. And I'm sleeping on the floor in his bedroom, right? So lucky enough, that was right when the phone deregulation went through. In other words, you could go out and buy your own phone. Back in the old days, you had to call the phone company to come, you know, right? Remember that?
Yeah, and you had to rent it every month.
Yeah. So I got a job with a contracting company doing some phone work, and my first job was to put up some stuff called Squirrel Guard. Now, Squirrel Guard is a piece of plastic about 10 foot long, maybe 4 inches on each side of this little tent-shaped thing, and you put it out there on the phone line so the squirrels and the rats couldn't run across it and get into your backyard. They had a bad rodent problem in L.A. back then, and they probably still do.
I'll say they still do.
So that's... They still are, yeah. But so we went ahead and did this, right? Went ahead, I had a buddy of mine working with me in a van, and we drive around to these locations. The first place we had was in Compton, which is in South
LA. We know Compton, sure.
Yeah. And remember my supervisor told me the first day we showed up on the job, he says, hey, man, you know, because we had to knock on people's doors to get in their backyard because that's where the phone poles were, telephone poles were, and that's where the lines were. So we knock on doors and say, hey, man, we're here to go ahead and help you with your rodent problem. We're going to put some stuff on your lines to keep them off because this stuff was designed to make them slide off of the line when they went across. It's plastic, right? So they're going to slide off it. They can't go across that thing. So my boss said, man, when you go to Compton, make sure you stand sideways to the door, away from the front of the door, and knock on it because we had a couple of guys get shot.
Oh, okay. That's how you got this job, you know, buddy.
Yeah. You know, hey, you're a new guy from New England. You know, you don't know. So long story short, the next job we had was in Hollywood Hills. And, of course, all the telephone poles are up in the hills between these little small canyons and these long spans of cable that go between the telephone poles. And we had to slide these pieces of plastic over those lines, tie them up with those little tie wraps, and to make sure, you know, that it all went smooth and the rodents couldn't get across it. So, you know, I'm sitting there one day and I'm looking behind me. I'm up in the hills and I go, wait a minute. Is that what I think it is? It was a Hollywood sign.
Yeah, you know why? Because it says Hollywood. If it said anything else, you would have been somewhere else. Yeah. Did you end up staying out there?
We started in the morning. So it was always foggy. We never could see the top of the hills usually until it burned off, you know, in the afternoon or late morning. And it was the first time I saw that, and it just blew me away. So I told my buddy, hey, man, let's go up there and check that out. I want to go up there for lunch and have lunch at the Hollywood sign. And he told me, no way, man, there's a gate there. You can't go up there. You can't get through there. I've been up there before. Well, I said, screw him. We went ahead, drove up there at our lunchtime, and sure enough, there was a gate, but it was open. Drove right in there, and here I am standing behind the Hollywood sign looking down at it, and it just blew me away.
So was it worth it?
He says, man, pardon?
So was it worth it?
Oh, man, it was more than worth it because we had cracked a couple of beers, you know, because he said, hey, man, that's where everybody parties. If they can get through there, they party up there or they break in there. We sat up there, had a couple of beers. And it was just like being in heaven.
That's very cool.
Hollywood Hillside.
That's very cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean,
I know everybody says it's disappointing, but I've never seen it.
I've seen it once, Grant. I was in a cab going by it, but I was still like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Because he's right. You see it all the time.
What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Trey. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, since I couldn't find anybody to take pictures of me naked at some remote site, I decided back when I was contracting in the Middle East, I was going to fulfill a lifelong dream and actually learn how to skydive. So I did. But that wasn't enough. So I decided after I got my B license, I went to Skydive West Tennessee out there near Memphis and did a 28,000-foot halo jump, which requires you be on supplemental oxygen for the jump.
So and then after that, does that mean you have a tank on your back?
It's a very small tank. Actually, okay. It only needs to last for just a few minutes, and you actually carry it on your front. But I still decided that wasn't quite enough, so I went back again. This happened in 2019, by the way. I went back again in August of 2019 and did a nighttime halo jump. It was also my first night jump that I'd ever done. You can't see anything.
I was going to say, could you not see the stars if you looked up? I mean, wouldn't it be more clear to...
Yeah, but they don't help you.
You're above the cloud line, right?
Yeah, actually, you're way above the cloud line, but the days where we did our jumps, which was in April and then in August, there were no clouds virtually at all.
So can you see the ground before you hit? I mean, do you have any vision whatsoever?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can see everything you need to. Like I said, there were no clouds. But the night jump, obviously, you can't see anything. So that's why you use your altimeters, which you carry with you on your jump, so you know how high up you are. You know what your pull altitude is, which means when you actually deploy your parachute.
What is the pull altitude?
We actually chose for that both of those two jumps about 5,000 feet.
Okay, and what is the time that you are free falling until you pull that? So do you have 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Is it right, how long is it before where you're just doing your thing?
You nailed it exactly. It was a 1 minute. It was 119 seconds. So it was basically 1 minute 59 seconds.
Now, have you learned to like swim and turn and do all that stuff up there while you're falling?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's part of getting your actual license. If you're not doing like tandem jumps, is what I call tourists, people who just go do a jump, throw it up on Facebook or their Instagram. Look what I did, you know. If you're an actual skydiver, you learn how to do these things as part of getting your different steps to your license.
And I'm guessing you don't need your own gear. They've got a parachute for you. You don't need to, you know, bring this stuff in your car.
Yeah, in theory, I mean, yeah, you can rent gear all you want. But if you're going to really be a skydiver, you're going to buy your own equipment.
Okay, what's a
cost? You gotta feel more comfortable.
What's a parachute cost?
A good one, brand new, at least $6,000-$7,000. That'll cover your container, both of your parachute canopies, which would be your primary and your reserve.
I would only buy the best.
Yeah,
it's like whatever it is. That's what I'm spending.
And
how meticulous is that packing process? I mean, is it, you know what I mean? Like,
that depends on the person who's packing it. I mean, and depending on how fast. If you're turning and burning on loads, you're trying to get up there as many times a day as you can. Some people, they do what's called a trash pack, where they just pack it like crap. And they're, you know, it really comes down to your lines need to be stowed correctly. And, I mean, you can do a lot of fudging on the actual canopy of pack itself, but you got to have your lines stowed correctly and make sure that your brakes are stowed.
Any goddamn thing you tell me.
This is not like you not reading the directions on something.
It's not like putting out the Legos or IKEA.
You can't skip a step on this.
No.
You have to follow everything.
Exactly, precisely.
It's literally life or death.
It is. What did you always want to do or see that you actually did do or see? We've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!